coffee's an available. Viva Red Hari. Yasoda Nandana, Vajrajana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana, Vajrajana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira, Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari.
Jaya Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parvashakacharya Ashtrata Vashakta Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananda Kodi Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai ISKCON VBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sekho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Brajavihari Gopa Gopinath Shamakum Radhakum Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Mayapur Navadvip Dham Ki Jai, Ganga Devi Bhakti Devi Jivana Devi Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Bo, all glories unto the assembled devotees, all glories unto the assembled devotees, all glories unto the merciful lordships, Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, entitled Liberation, chapter 18, King Yayati Regains His Youth, texts 15 and 16, I'm going to read today. I guess I'll go through the text 15 and then we can all chant text 16. Because 15 doesn't have a purport. Evam Shipantim Sharmishta Guru Putrim Abhashata Rusha Shvasan Jurangiva Darshita Dashta Dachchada. Shukadeva Goswami said, when thus rebuked in cruel words, Sharmishta was very angry. Breathing heavily like a serpent and biting her lower lip with her teeth, she spoke to the daughter of Shukracharya as follows. Atmavritam avigyaya. Atmavritam avigyaya. Katase Bahu Bhikshuki. Katase Bahu Bhikshuki. Kimna Patikshase Smakam. Kimna Patikshase Smakam. Grihan Bali Bujoyata. Grihan Bali Bujoyata. Others chant, please. Atma Vrittam Avigyaya. Kata Se Bahu Vikshuki. Kim Na Patikshase Smakam. Grihan Bali Bujoyata. Ladies, let me show. Atmavritam. One's own position. Avigyaya. Without understanding. Katase. You are talking madly. Bahu. So much. Bhikshuki, beggar. Kim, whether. Na, not. Patikshase, you wait. Asmakam, our. Grihan, at the house. Balibuja, crows. Yata, like. Translation and purport by His Divine Loving Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. You beggar, since you don't understand your position, why should you unnecessarily talk so much? Don't all of you wait at our house, depending on us for your livelihood, like crows? Purport. Crows have no independent life. They fully depend on the remnants of foodstuffs thrown by householders into the garbage tank. Therefore, because a Brahmin depends on his disciples, when Sharmishta was heavily rebuked by Devayani, she charged Devayani with belonging to a family of crow-like beggars. It is the nature of women to fight verbally at even a slight provocation. As we see from this incident, this has been their nature for a long, long time. Om Agyana Timirandasha Yana Agyana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Srila Prabhupada is speaking very strong words here. They told me, when they asked me to give this class, that I could defend the position of women. I'm certainly not going to contradict or argue with the words of the pure devotee, my Guru Maharaj. But I would like to ask the question, do you think that Srila Prabhupada is referring to saintly devotee women here. When a person is trying to surrender their life and soul unto the lotus feet of their Guru Maharaj, Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna, and we have to renew this vow daily with our sadhana, chanting good rounds, minimum 16, associating with the devotees, hearing the Bhagavatam, eating sanctified foodstuff, prasadam, taking darshan of the deities. And darshan doesn't just mean that we see the Lord, which of course is there, and get the blessing, but it actually means the Lord looks at us and can give us benediction like that, the darshan. So, worshiping Tulsi Devi every day, Tulsi Maharani every day, performing seva, devotional service. So if a person is trying like this, then what happens is something mystical happens. And instead of being absorbed totally in the apara prakti, the external potency of the Lord, such a person, whether it be a lady or a man, starts to become absorbed in the internal potency of the Lord. And means they start to rise above the modes of material nature by doing these sanctified activities every day. And so it's certainly, by Srila Prabhupada's calls, this mercy. I mean, who wants to even think where would we be if we didn't have Prabhupada's blessings? Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Lord Chaitanya, where would we be? You don't even want to think about it. You don't want to go there. We would certainly, I'm sure that I would be one of these quarreling ladies that, even at a slight provocation, likes to fight verbally. So we see here, so Sharmishtha is getting back at Devayani. Devayani, remember, is the Brahman, in quotes, Brahman. She asserted herself yesterday in the last verse as being the Brahman. And of course, Sharmishtha is the king's daughter, the Kshatriya. And the problem being that Devayani, you know, she said so many things where the Brahmans, who are accepted as the face of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so many things she said, actually, you know, were fairly true, but the manner in which she said them was not Brahminical. She said them in a very puffed up manner. And just the ABCs of Bhagavad Gita, Amanitvam, Adambitvam, what are the, you know, the first quality of real intelligence? Amanitvam, it's humility. So in this instance, Devayani was not acting humble, and she wasn't acting like a Brahmin. Actually, all Sharmishtha did was put on her clothes by error, and she certainly should have, as a Brahmin, led the way in exhibiting the qualities of forgiveness and tolerance. And by the way, that in one of the Puranas that's explained that Lord Indra came and mixed up their clothes to instigate something there. So Devayani certainly should have, as the Brahmani, she should have done that. But she was in the modes, and she didn't. Because actually, anybody who is thinking, who is identifying with this body, say right now Prabhupada's pinpointing the women. So if we're identifying with this woman's body and just thinking all the time, I am this woman's body, then naturally we'll be under the influence of the modes of material nature, and we'll be subject to bickering and fighting and and whatever Prabhupada said here, the negative qualities, the lower qualities that Prabhupada said that women exhibit, certainly. But actually, if we're thinking Jivara Swarupa Hoy, Krishnara Nityadas, no, Krishnara Tatasta Shakti, Beta Beta Prakash, if we're thinking, I am an eternal servant of Krishna, and if we're acting on that platform, then the modes of material nature become diminished, greatly minimized, and they minimize more and more with our as our level of purity raises. So Devayani actually was getting herself into a lot of trouble by losing control of her mind and senses and her tongue. But actually, sometimes we see that the Bhagavatam will highlight people at their best and at their worst. And it's showing Devayani really in an ill light here, negative. Actually, another time that she, just prior to this incident, she also got in trouble by letting anger get in the way. Krodha, Bhavati Samohat. She was in love with a Brahmin, and she wanted to marry him, but she let her anger ruin that. And actually, we slightly touched upon this story the other day when Dharmaraj Prabhu was giving class, but we can tell it now. What happened was Devayani's father, Shukra, had possession of this incredible mantra, Mrityu Sanjeevani, the mantra that Mrityu, death, Sanjeevani, bring life. So what it is, he could bring any dead person back to full life and vibrant health, even if that person, which was what he used it for all the time, was a demon who had been fighting and had some of his limbs cut off, etc. But he would just use the mantra, and all the demons were springing back to life. And the demigods were really getting an anxiety about this because their numbers were dwindling, and the demons' numbers were not dwindling at all. So the demigods all went to their preceptor, Brihaspati, and they said, Guru Maharaj, you have to do something about this. You know, we don't know what to do. And being a Brahmin, Brihaspati decided, he didn't decide that he would, you know, that they should capture Shukra and torture him to get the mantra out of him or anything like that, or kill him. He said, yes, I will send my son, Kachcha. And my son will go there as a humble brahmachari and beg to learn from Shukra. So this is what he did. Kachcha was a young boy, 14, 15, 16. He went there. He stayed several years. He actually presented to Shukra. He said, my dear Brahman, I would like to humbly submit myself to you and stay at your ashram and learn from you the sacred Vedas. And in return, I would like to submit myself for any seva that you want me to do to help you. So Shukra thought, well, he's not asking for the Mrityu Sanjeevani mantra, so okay, I'll take him up on it. So Kachcha stayed there for several years. And after a couple years of three or four years, what happened is some of the demoniac followers of Shukra started to think, you know, this can't be any good, because there's a chance, if there's even a one iota of a chance that this boy can get that mantra, we're doomed. So they decided that they would kill him. And one of the sevas that he did every day was take the cows out to graze. I should say incidentally also that all throughout these years, Devayani was there also, and she fell in love with him because, of course, Kachcha was a demigod. He was a Brahmin demigod, and he was beautiful, and he was very expert and intelligent. So he was taking the cows out. The demons came and killed him. And he didn't return at the prescribed time. And after longer waiting, Devayani went to her father and said, "Father, I just feel something horrible has happened. He hasn't come back. He never does this, never comes late." And Shukra, with his powers of intuition, could deduce, yes, he is killed. He is dead. And she said, "Please, you know, Father, bring him back." So he used Mitra Sanjeevani, and there he was standing before them. So time went on, and after some time, the demons thought they would try again. They were foiled the first time, so they said, "Okay, this time, we're going to cut his body up, and we're going to disperse the parts." So they did that. They dismembered him and spread out the parts. But still, when he didn't come back, and Devayani persuaded her father to use the mantra again, and there he was, alive again. So finally, the demons said, "Okay, we're going to go all out with the horrible plan." They decided that they were going to kill Kachcha, burn his body, and horror of horrors, they were going to take those ashes, and only a demoniac mind can think of this, mix the ashes into their guru's drink, Shukra's drink. Who knows how they thought of that one? They did it. This time, when he didn't show up for a period of time, Devayani said, "Father, where is Kachcha?" And with his powers of deduction, he said, "Oh, my beautiful daughter, I'm so sorry to tell you. He is not only dead, but he is inside of my body. So that means that if I used my mantra, it would kill me. So it's either him or me, you know." And Devayani said, "I can't live with either of you, without either of you. You know, if I don't have both of you here safe and sound, I myself will perish. I will kill myself." So he was in a real quandary as to what to do. So ultimately, he gave the mantra to his daughter so that when Kachcha came out, she could say it to revive her father too, and they could both be alive. And as he told her, of course, Kachcha from within heard it and memorized it. And then, when he came out of the body, Shukra was dead, and then they revived him also. And at that point, now that he had the mantra, he felt he could go home to the demigods, Kachcha, to his father, Brihaspati. He also liked Devayani, but he was intelligent and knew that it just wouldn't work out. The logistics were too wrong with her being a demon and him a demigod. It just wouldn't work out. So, but she was bent on marrying him. She went to him and said, "Please, now we can get married, you know." And he told her, my dear beautiful Brahmani, throughout the whole time that I've been here, I've looked upon you as a superior, you know, my Guru Maharaj's daughter. Not only that, but I regard you as my sister because just as you were born from Shukracharya, I also came out of his body. So I'm seeing you as my sister." And she just became livid. She lost it again. And, "This is just a pretext. You're a cheater. I curse you that even though you have this mantra, you will not be able to use it." And he remained very calm. Kachcha, he said, "You have cursed me unnecessarily. This is not proper. Because of that, you will never marry a Brahmin." So as we know, as the story goes on, she marries a king, Yayati. Of course, as we said, the Bhagavatam often shows people in their worst light. Just like, it shows Pururava, who is actually the amalgamation of the Surya Vamsha with the Chandra Vamsha. Kururava. He's, you know, the father of the whole dynasty. It shows him running naked after Urvashi's lammies. You know, it doesn't tell much of his good things. It just tells, points out his neck. So obviously we understand that Devayani, even though she's exhibiting this pride, etc., she, her son, was Yadu. The head of the Yadu dynasty, the Yadavas. Lord Krishna very proudly called himself a Yadava when he was on the planet. So that was her son. So in other words, she didn't have all bad qualities. She couldn't have had all bad qualities. One thing is that another part of the story is that Devayani's grandmother means Shukra's mother. Shukra's father was Bhrigu. And we know Bhrigu had some type of anger problem himself. He kicked Lord Vishnu in the chest, for example. But there's a story of how Shukra got this Mrityu Sanjeevani, how he came to acquire it. He was fed up with, you know, the demons and demigods were fighting all the time, and he said, I'm just going away to meditate upon Lord Shiva and beg from him something that will help us vanquish the demigods. He instructed the demons, you must stay in the ashram of my father, Bhrigu, and I want you to put down your weapons, because he was afraid that if they would get into fights and he wasn't there, they could become vanquished, and then he'd come back and there wouldn't, you know, he'd have a hard time assembling some more demons together. So you must stay in the ashram of Bhrigu, my father. You must put your weapons aside and just live as ascetics there in that ashram. He went to Lord Shiva and he meditated a long time, and when Shiva came, he told him that he wanted this mantra to make the demons invincible. Lord Shiva told him, I'll grant your request, but you must undergo a real difficult austerity. For 1,000 years you have to meditate and live only on smoke. So Shukra agreed to this vrata. So in the meantime, the demigods somehow got wind of what Shukra was up to, and they went to the ashram of Bhrigu to try to kill all the demons. And the demons said, what are you doing? This is against all the codes of warfare. We don't even have weapons. And they began a wholesale slaughter, the demigods, of the demons. And what happened is they fled to, for some reason, Bhrigu was not there. And we know that Shukra was meditating. So Shukra's mother, Bhrigu's wife, was there. Her name was Kavya Mata, and she was a formidable lady. She had some mystic potency also. And so what happened was they started fighting, and she turned Lord Indra into a stone. Means he could still speak, but he was just totally immobile. And when all of the demigods saw that she had done that, they pretty much became frightened for their, you know, that she would do it to them, and they dispersed. They retreated. But Indra was still there. And so Lord Vishnu came to his rescue. And then, tying in with our verse, Kavyamata also lost it and got very angry. But only this time she got angry. First she was protecting, you know, the demons, which, all right, that's fine. But this time she got angry at the wrong person, Lord Vishnu. And she threatened. She said, I will burn both of you up with my powers. And at that, she had crossed the line a little bit too much. And Lord Vishnu took his Sudarshan Chakra and decapitated her. So Bhrigu wasn't there. When he came back and heard what happened, he, in turn, cursed Lord Vishnu that he would have to appear, take several... he would have to come down to earth several times to live. Of course, we understand Lord Vishnu cannot be cursed. He is the supreme god. Neither can he be forced to do anything he doesn't want to do? So for sake of Leela, what this was, he was being the Das Avatars. He was, in effect, cursing him to come as the Das Avatars. And then, of course, also Bhrigu brought his wife back to life. He was able to do that. So we mentioned briefly how, this canto is so wonderful. I love the ninth canto. The very first page of the first chapter in the ninth canto tells how that, as we briefly mentioned before, how the Surya Vamsha, the dynasty of Vivasvatamanu, was amalgamated with the Soma Vamsha, you know, the Chandra Vamsha, or the moon dynasty, the dynasty coming from the moon. And how did this happen? This happened with the birth of Pururava, because who were Pururava's parents? First of all, on his mother's side, this is the lineage. From the navel of Lord Vishnu was generated the golden lotus on which Brahma was born. Then from the mind of Brahma, Marichi took birth. Marichi's son was Kashyapa. Kashyapa's son was Vivasvan, the sun god. Vivasvan's son was Shraddhadev Manu. And Shraddhadev's daughter, because Shraddhadev couldn't have kids at first. This is before Ikshvaku was born. Ikshvaku's his son too, but this was much later. So he couldn't have children, but he had Ila. So Ila, is the daughter of Shraddhadev, is the great-great-granddaughter of Brahma in the sun coming from the sun dynasty. So then Ila was the mother of Pururava, and the father, the Soma Vamsha, starts again with Brahma, born from the lotus that sprouted from the navel of Garbhodakshay Vishnu. And Brahma's son was Atri. Atri's son was Soma, or Chandra, the moon, born of Atri's tears of jubilation. And Atri appointed him the director of the Brahmins, all medicines, drugs, and luminaries. Soma's son was Bud. And Bud married Bud, so Bud from the Soma Vamsha married Ila from the Surya Vamsha, and their child was the amalgamation, and that's Pururava. So we have the stories of Pururava and Urvashi. And one thing that's really remarkable and wonderful about this canto is that in the back, when you have time at home, you can all look. They have all the genealogical tables. they're very astounding. Very amazing genealogical tables of the Sun Dynasty, the Moon Dynasty, and all the children of Pururava. So what we just did, what we just have finished, is reading Pururava and Urvashi. One of their sons was Vijay, and we just finished reading about Parashuram. Parashuram comes way down after so many generations. So we finished reading about Parashuram. And he came from the son of Pururava and Urvashi called Vijay. Then we have the son of Pururava and Urvashi called Ayu. And from Ayu, down, many, many generations, comes Ugrasen, Surasen, then the Kunti Devi, Vasudev, the Pandavas, and Balaram and Krishna. You know, they're in that family coming from Pururava. And actually, where we are now, we're reading about that same son of Pururava, an Urvashi called Ayu, and Ayu's son Nahusha had the son Yayati. So that's where we are. Yayati's son, of course, as we mentioned, Yadu. So, but these genealogical tables are really astounding. If you get the chance to look at them, they're quite remarkable. I guess I just wanted to mention, if we have like 5 minutes, one more thing here, that so Pururava's wife, Urvashi, we all know she was an apsara. Prabhupada calls her a heavenly prostitute in one purport. And she was the so-called the mother of the, you know, the dynasty. So what happened is she had an encounter with Arjun in the Mahabharata. You probably remember from the Mahabharata that always from a distance, Srila Vyasadeva would keep his eye on the Pandavas, where they are, always from a distance, and periodically he would meet with them to check into their well-being. No, he was definitely their well-wisher. So once he went to Yudhishthira Maharaj, and he told him, they were in exile, this is when they were in exile, he told him, my dear Yudhishthira, you have to send Arjun to the mountains because he's got to get certain celestial weapons that are crucial. They will be crucial, and they'll be totally useful for you when the time comes that you will be fighting. So Yudhishthira didn't want to send him away, but he explained this to Arjun, and Arjun said, all right, I'll look at the weapons. And, you know, they said goodbye. They had no idea how long it would take them, and, you know, their hearts were kind of breaking to part because there they were in exile. All they had was each other, undergoing so many austerities. So Arjun left, and, of course, there's a whole story. He got several celestial weapons. Lord Shiva, etc. And he found his father. Indra came, and Indra took him to Amaravati. He took him to the heavenly planets, to Indra's city. And he was there for some time, but that enjoying spirit, he just couldn't catch on to it, because every day he would think of his brothers, and his heart would burn. He knew, I have to get back to my brothers. You know, what am I doing here in the heavenly planets? So, he was there for some time, and finally he was ready. His father gave him celestial weapons. Finally he was ready to, you know, the time was wrapping up. He was ready to leave, but Indra thought, I wish he could stay longer, you know. So he said, what can I do to entice him? He said, Urvashi. Urvashi was there. So Indra called together a large assembly. They had celestial festivities. They had the Rudras, Adityas, Ashvinis, Vasus, great rishis, royal sages, Siddhas, Charanas. The Gandharvas played the Veenas and sang songs, celestial melody. And what happened was that Urvashi was there and Arjun was there, and someone pointed out to Arjun, Arjun, you see that lady in the pink sari? And Arjun said, yeah. She said, wow, she really has a celestial beauty. I've hardly ever seen anybody as beautiful as that. He said, you know who that is? That's Urvashi. And Arjun knew who Urvashi was. He knew very well she was the mother of the dynasty, because he knew all of the history of Pururava on down. He knew it very well. And he said, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that this lady that looks like she's 18 years old, she's my great 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 grandmother. I said, I cannot believe this, you know. So he was kind of looking at her like that, you know. My gosh, this is Pururava's wife. This is the, you know, grandmother of Yadu. My goodness. And these people lived thousands of years before. So so what happened was Indra had told her, you know, you have to go and enjoy with my son. So she went there at night wearing diaphanous clothing. She was exhilarated with a little liquor that she had taken. And she actually got herself worked up because she had seen him looking at her and she thought it was in the enjoying spirit. Because after all, she is an apsara. The bane of the apsaras is that, they always remain like 18 years old, voluptuous, beautiful, totally. But the thing is, they never mature. So they never mature mentally. So they're always in this enjoying spirit, even with, you know, members of their family like that. They always have the enjoying spirit. So she was, by this time, she was madly in love with Arjuna, and she thought that he was with her too. So so when she came to see him, Arjuna respectfully closed his eyes. He wouldn't look at her. He just, looked at her feet. And he worshipped her like as a superior. And she said, "I saw you looking at me in the assembly, and now your father has sent me to you." And he told her, "Mataji, you are my mother, just like Kunti, or Sachi, the queen of Indra. In the assembly, I gazed at you thinking, she is the mother of the Kaurava race. O blessed Apsara, please do not entertain other feelings toward me, for you are the grandmother of the Kuru dynasty." And hearing these words, she tried to counteract it. "O son of the chief of the celestials, we Apsaras are free and unconfined in our choice. Please don't think of me as your superior. The sons and grandsons of Puru's race all sport with us. Without incurring any sin, please do not send me away. I am burning with desire." So Arjuna replied, Arjuna really exhibited his sense control. Arjuna replied, "Let the four directions listen. Just as Kunti or Madri or Sachi are to me, so are also you are my grandmother and an object of reverence to me. I bow my head at your feet. You deserve worship as my mother, and it behooves you to protect me as a son." So with this, Urvasi became livid, and trembling with rage, she cursed Arjuna. "Since you disregarded a woman who came to you full of desire and at the command of your father, therefore, O Partha, you will have to live destitute of manhood and scorned as a eunuch." So of course Arjuna was like freaked out, and he went to his father. My gosh, what's going to happen? And Indra just kind of laughed and said, and he praised him. He said, "O mighty armed one, you have vanquished even rishis by your patience and self-control." And then he said, "This curse is actually a blessing. It will be a benefit to you. You will have to pass the 13th year of your exile unknown to all. Then you shall suffer this curse, and no one will recognize you. And after having passed 1 year as a dancer without manhood, you will regain your powers at the end of the term." So we pray to the deities that we can always somehow stay absorbed in our sadhana and devotional service, because otherwise we know that surely these baser qualities of the ladies that Prabhupada is speaking of, such as the propensity to quarrel at any moment and to provoke fights and friction in the family, we don't want that to happen. So therefore we beg the deities to keep us engaged in their service. And and glories to Prabhupada and Srimad Bhagavatam Vijaya. Anybody have a question or a comment? Madam Mohan Prabhu.
Actually, I have quite a few, but one point was how when Arjuna said no, isn't it a kshatriya religious principle not to deny if a woman comes to him? I mean, that Arjuna, when he came back after Krishna left Maharaj Yudhisthira, the first thing he asked him is, "How come you rejected? Did you not fulfill your kshatriya vow to?" So it's a religious principle, and even in this same chapter, just a couple verses from now there's the whole thing with Demayanti being pulled out of the well. If a kshatriya or a king is petitioned by a woman, it's his religious duty to satisfy her. So in one sense, Arjuna, even though he gave good reasons,
I have a one-word answer. Grandmother. She was his grandmother.
But my question that I was formulating earlier before this part was how there's a forgiveness is a brahminical quality, and in one of the aspects of a Brahmin is that he studies the scriptures. So when you hear these different pastimes or stories or Bhagavatam recitation, you see that one curse is actually, it's all Krishna's plan, and it's difficult to understand. So even though it appears in this particular instance, just like her anger, Devyanti's anger, it seems like it was already a setup put in motion for certain events.
Oh, you're saying it was a leela, part of Krishna's leela, you're saying?
In one sense, it was destined because of previous events for other events to take place. This needed to happen because, as you're pointing out, Bhagavatam sometimes points out these flaws in a character. But in one sense, you teach the daughter-in-law by teaching the daughter. He has these personalities exhibit these temporary alterations of their normal behavior.
Insanity.
In order to bring something to happen, because they're such exalted persons that you were pointing out Garuda, how he had all these things take place, and the Yadu, all these different activities take place down line. So the forgiveness is that we understand it's all part of Krishna's plan, and once that's developed and matures, then he sees everything going on in Krishna's range, and he doesn't have to go into the duality of the moment and the modes of nature to interact with it. So I thought that's a wonderful development of how forgiveness of a Brahmin is irregardless of the event based on his faith in Krishna's arrangements. Is that all right? Does that make sense?
Trivikram, please. I just wanted to mention that it's so sad. Lord Jagannath in Miami is sick. They gave him a bath on Sunday. It's not a yatra. And he got sick, and he won't be able to see him for 2 weeks. Oh, under the weather. And they're going to have huge Rath Yatra on March 5th. So, and somebody asked me, well, how did they bathe him? Because Jagannath would. You're not supposed to get him wet. Well, they actually bathed him. They had these huge... children's bathing pools, and they bathed the deities. It was wonderful. It was supposed to be the most ecstatic thing. Wow. True, Kampu?
Nice. Two quick points. Kasha stayed with Sukracharya for 1,000 years. The other point, Sukracharya calls all men that takes wine, because it was wine the demon mixed the body of Kacha into and gave Sukracharya. So he said, from this day on, any man that takes wine shall be a scorn to all. See?
Anybody that takes wine
any man or any person that takes wine shall be a scorn to all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like Yudhishthira calls all men not to.
It was a wonderful class. You know, when I read the history of, sometimes I see so many names, this is the son of so and so and so, and I never really, I always try to get through it real fast and get to the other point. But now I have a real appreciation because, like you said, Krishna is the, descendant, or he claimed that he's a Yadu. And now you appreciate why, the history is there. That was one point. The other thing is, even though these are leelas of Krishna, the people still have their personality. Like Devayani, she's a young girl and she has a temper. So even though it's all Krishna Leela set up, the people still have their personality, the characters in the book. And it makes it, interesting reading at the same time. intellectuals and philosophy for us. So she's a young girl, 15 or 16, and it's understandable that, you know, somebody takes her clothes. So it's all set up, you know. But at the same
yeah.
time, it was wonderful how you took the philosophy and said, you know.
Yeah, for that, I usually think, wow, if all these great exalted personalities can have so many frailties, what about us? So it just makes you realize how much more we have to take shelter of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya. And, you know.
Yes, there's just so many different aspects to appreciate an incident like that, you know. See that if she's a Brahmin, she could act a certain way. But at the same time, she's a young girl with her friends, and naturally she's angry. But it's that whole repercussion that happened later on, you know. Because there's her relationship with Sarmishtha.
Sharmishtha.
Sharmishtha doesn't end there.
Oh,
yeah. It's a whole thing because they're both descendants from those two, Pu and Yadu, right?
Yeah.
So, really appreciate it.
That's it. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.